Good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is December 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. What's the Wednesday after the fourth Sunday in Advent, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is Christmas. Of course, Christmas Eve on the 24th. I'm sipping coffee, and I will not forget to mention that I am sipping my coffee. Veranda blend from Starbucks, and it's the blonde roast caffeine, and some Oberweis eggnog, because the Oberweis eggnog only comes out this time of year, so I must take advantage of it while I can. Not too much, obviously, because there's just way too many calories in it. Okay, let's open in some prayer, which I actually set off to the side here. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, so we are heading into the Feast of the Incarnation, Christmas as it's otherwise known, and we're talking about Holy Communion, which just seems absolutely apropos. So we're up to question 132 in the Catechism on page 58, about the middle of the page. Question 132. What is the outward and visible sign in Holy Communion? The visible sign is bread and wine, which Christ commands us to receive. Simple enough, which will probably make this a fairly short podcast compared to the others, since there's one scriptural reference, 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so question and answer. What is the outward and visible sign in Holy Communion? The visible sign is bread and wine, which Christ commands us to eat. So bread and wine. So specifically, the Catechism is teaching that the elements are bread, which Rome has pretty much said is, you know, has to have some wheat in it. We do serve gluten-free, but it has to be bread and wine, not say crackers and Mountain Dew. It has to be somewhere within the milieu of bread and wine. Grape juice was essentially invented as a non-alcoholic wine, because if you put the juice of grapes in a bag, it will ferment. So only until the modern era can we actually create something like grape juice, unfermented grapes. So what can be taught here? That there's this so in that section, I'm gonna pull it back up. That section. See, there's this verses before it. So start in, 17. Yeah. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you have houses to eat and do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So there's also this command before it, which is when think on the importance of this thing that you are doing. The Lord has commanded us to do it. It should be done in the right manner, with the mindset of that Christ intended for it, not to stuff yourself or get drunk, but to reverently receive. So, Cyril of Jerusalem, the teaching of the Blessed Paul is of itself sufficient to give you full assurance about the divine mysteries by admission to which you have become one body and blood with Christ. When the Master himself has explicitly said of the bread, "This is my body," who will still dare to doubt? When he is himself our warranty, saying, "This is my blood," who will ever waver and say it is not his blood? With perfect confidence, then, we partake as of the body and blood of Christ on the mysteries, fourth lecture. So, it is bread and it is divine food. And to draw upon it further, John Chrysostom, Paul reminds us that the Master gave up everything, including himself, for us, whereas we are reluctant even to share a little food with our fellow believers. But if you come for a sacrifice of thanksgiving, do not do anything unworthy of that sacrifice. Do not dishonor your brothers or neglect them in their hunger. Do not get drunk and do not insult the church. When you come, give thanks for what you have enjoyed and do not cut yourselves off from your neighbors. Here ends the reading. To do these things in a manner worthy and the simplicity to be received, now, there's questions that follow on that talk about partaking of the sacrament. Sorry, I'm reading it. Sort of trying to quickly summarize. There's following questions that sort of hit on this too. But I was trying to hit it again from the higher elevation, as it were. So, now I'm going to turn again to the Book of Homilies, and the subheads of things older than maybe 150 years old are always really, but they're not short and concise, but they're long but fairly condensed versions of, and it becomes pretty clear what they're talking about. So, an homily of the worthy receiving and reverent esteeming of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. That's the name of this homily. Now, I read from it last week in a section a little deeper in, but I'm going to start at the beginning, the first several paragraphs. Okay. The great love of our Savior Christ towards mankind, good Christian people, doth not only appear in that dear bought benefit of our redemption and salvation by his death and passion, but also in that he so kindly provided that the same most merciful work might he had in continual remembrance to take some place in us, and not be frustrate on his end and purpose. For as tender parents are not content to procure for their children costly possessions and livelihood, but take order that the same may be conserved and come to their use, so our Lord and Savior thought it not sufficient to purchase for us his Father's favor again, which is that deep fountain of all goodness and eternal life, but also invented the ways most wisely, whereby they might redound to our commodity and profit. Among the which means is the public celebration of the memory of his precious death at the Lord's table, which although it seem of small virtue to some, yet being rightly done by the faithful, it doth not only help their weakness, who be by their poisoned nature readier to remember injuries than benefits, but strengthened and comforteth their inward man with peace and gladness, and maketh them thankful to their Redeemer with diligent care and godly conversation. And as of old time God decreed his wondrous benefits of the deliverance of his people, to be kept in memory by the eating of the Passover with his rites and ceremonies, so our loving Savior hath ordained and established the remembrance of his great mercy expressed in his passion, in the institution of his heavenly supper, which every one of us must be guests and not gazers, eaters and not lookers, feeding ourselves and not hiring others to feed us, that we may live by our own meat and not perish for hunger whilst others devour all. To this he commandeth forth, saying, do ye this, drink ye all of this. To this his promise enticeth us, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. So then, of necessity, we must be ourselves partakers of this table, and not beholders of other. So we must address ourselves to frequent the same in reverent and comely manner, lest as physic provided for the body being misused, so as physique provided for the body being misused, more hurteth than profiteth, so that this comfortable medicine of the soul undecently received tend to the greater harm and sorrow. And St. Paul said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh to his own damnation. Wherefore, that is it not to be said to us, as it was the guest of that great supper, friend, how camest thou in, not having the marriage garment? Matthew 22:12. And that we may fruitfully use St. Paul's counsel, let a man prove himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of that cup. We must certainly know that three things be requisite in him, which would seemly, as becometh such high mysteries, resort to the Lord's table. That is, first, a rightly and worthy estimation and understanding of this mystery, second, to come in sure faith, and thirdly, to have newness or pureness of life to succeed the receiving of the same. Here ends the reading. So, short question and answer, kind of took the high, the 20, 30, 50,000 foot view. I have some friends who aren't really big fans of that particular expression. My apologies, we sort of use that at work, a lot at work, so it's kind of ingrained in my head. So that's the question and answer. What is the outward invisible sign in Holy Communion? The visible sign is bread and wine, which Christ commands us to receive. So I want to thank you for listening. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you're in other places, would be nice if you would share it with your friends and family. If you think you can do this better, please do so. I would like to encourage the use of the catechism, whether it's this teaching or your own. Let us faithfully turn to the catechism and receive the instruction that the church has given us. Feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. Again, thank you. Here's the collect of the day as we head into the Feast of the Incarnation. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And as we are sorely hindered by our sins from running the grace that is set before us, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.